Blog Talk Radio.
My Lord, my Lord, blessings, peace and blessings, my beloved brothers and sisters, family and friends. You know what? I just came out of the house. And the first thing I did was look up in the sky. Now, as you know, as we know, seeing a star in Los Angeles is very far in between. And that's the first thing I see is a sparkling, tingling star. My God, how beautiful that is. Oof, beautiful. Beautiful. How y'all doing today, my good brothers? My wonderful sisters, how are y'all doing today? Well, you know what? I have something I need to share with you as always. And one of the things that I need to share is that I love you. I mean, I love you so much. Yet also, that God loves you so much until it's beyond measure. It is actually beyond understanding. I cannot comprehend it in any shape, fashion, or form. The only thing that I come to understand is that I can duplicate it. That's it. And in duplicating it, I come to understand suffering. Because literally, it really takes a lot for you to love somebody when everything in your being says you want to hate them or dislike them or distance yourself from them. It can be very difficult. As a matter of fact, I was talking to somebody today, and I said, when I first became a Christian and I found that somebody had distanced itself from me, I come to understand the reason why. Most likely it was because they're saying to themselves, I don't want to think negative about you. I don't want to speak negative about you. And I don't want to do anything negative to you. So I'd rather distance myself from you so that I can stay within the realms of God, because I'm not going to let you cause me to stumble. When I found out about that, which only could have been done by the Holy Spirit, when I found out about that, I said, now I understand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for providing me with that information, because I see it so many times. And once or twice I've done it even myself. Sometimes we need to get away from some people, because some people think they're getting away from some things. The next thing is, my brothers and sisters, God is so good to us. It is so beyond measure. I remember when I looked at Romans 8:32. My God, it blew me away. How much more through Christ, since he gave us his only begotten Son, how much more will he give us? And when I found that out, there is no limit to what he would do. There's no limit to his abilities. There's no limit to his love for us. It is surely, wonderfully amazing. Okay, but let's get started with something. I had literally come to find out that, Father God, please forgive me. I'm having a little difficult time breathing. But it's going to be okay. So, I ask you to just simply pray for me. And I know I'll be okay. Because for some of y'all, your prayers is touching heaven. Praise God. this here, allow me to pray. Please forgive me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I love you. You know me, Father God, I'm just so overjoyed with the things that you do, allowing us to get to know who you are. It's just enough. That's enough. Yes. Giving us the opportunity to know who you are through Jesus Christ. It's just, I don't even have a name for it. But for you to top it off, Heavenly Father, to give us the ability to get to know you by that of the Holy Spirit, it's going beyond, Father God. We have no excuse. We have no excuse, Father God, to be disobedient. We have no excuse to say that we don't know better. No excuse. To say that we cannot get things accomplished. We have no excuse for acting in any way other than the way that gives you glory. We have no excuse. And I want to say thank you, Father God, because when you put the spotlight on us, that mirror in front of us, it caused us to understand, at least me, that I am like a filthy rag in compared to your holiness. And I want to say thank you, because I know for at least me, sometimes I can think I got it right. I know sometimes, Father God, I can look and think that I got it right. I want to say thank you for enabling me to see that I'll never get it right yet. Because of you, I'll always strive to get it right. Because of Jesus, I always strive to get it right. I pray that, I declare and decree that in the name of Jesus, by every person under the tone of this voice, so that we can have the ability to get up with the spirit of achievement, to want to get it right continuously. I love you, Father God. Use me. I will decrease. Increase, Father God, so that somebody can increase in who you are. I thank you. And I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Father God, here we go. I had a debate, my dear brothers and sisters. I had a debate. Somebody took me there, and I allowed them to. I had a debate that a person can talk out of their mouth all they want. They can tell you that they are about Jesus all they want. They can know verses up and down like it's nobody's business. It's what you hear. What matters is what you see. I have come to find that there are many people who are apostles, many people who are bishops and pastors, missionary evangelists, or just saints who are so well versed until you would say this got to be a man of God or a woman of God. But Jesus said, call me by my name, but your heart is far from me. When I first became a Christian and I heard about people or heard people do their thing, I used to say, my God, it's so good to be able to hang around somebody like you. Because I want to get closer to Jesus. It's so good to be able to have somebody around me who can show me what it's like to have a relationship with God. It's so good to be able to know you're going to be the one to help me get there. Yes, that's the way I was. I remember to a man that I was with, I said to him, the more that I learn about Jesus, the less I like myself. And he said, what do you mean by this? I said, when I look at his holiness, his perfectionness, and then look at me, it's horrible. He said, don't worry, because in time, you are going to say that I got it going on. Look at me. And he starts shooting verses that, wow, that's so amazing. You go ahead, man. That very same man was with a lot of women, smoked cigarettes. The very same man was denying his children, hurting his woman, or let's say the main woman. The very same man was doing so many different things until within time I come to find that I needed to pray with him, guide him, and I needed to let him know that we all fall short of the glory of God. And within time, he came to me and said, do you remember the time in the park? Because that's where I had made that statement. The more that I learn about Jesus, the more I hate myself. The more I dislike who I am. And I said, I do. He explained to me, my spirit wanted to tell you that you're on the right path. Because you are admitting that you are an imperfect person. But my pride would not let me do that. Because you was moving into the pathway of getting this thing right. You didn't try to go around it. You didn't try to go under it. You didn't try to go around, on top of it. You was going through in a manner that caused you to say, I don't mind going through the bumps and the grind. I don't mind going through whatever is necessary to make it so that I can get to Jesus, so I can get to God. Led by the Holy Spirit, you don't mind. You didn't mind. You still don't mind. I can see it in you that humility has taken over you. And I was so upset with myself because I knew that my memory was great. And I say was. I was so upset with the fact that I made cuts and went around corners. But I used my memory as the shield to make people believe that I had it going on. I remember I heard you say one time that God can give you a blessing and you can turn it into a curse. You see, I turned my memory, which is a blessing, into a curse. Because as opposed to learning the Bible and using my memory to feed me the Bible, I use my memory to impress others so they can think I am of the Bible. And I am so upset with myself, even as I speak to you right now, until I no longer want to act like I know so much. Because it doesn't matter what you know, it matters what you do with what you know. And I looked at him and I said, man, you're my hero. And the reason why is because of the fact that it takes a really big person to come to a person to confess their sins so that they too can pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you, so that they can pray we do not allow Satan or ourselves to attack us. That we look and say, yes, I cannot do this right now, but I'm going to strive continuously to get it right. So that they can have the ability to look and say, Father God, help me. I want to stop smoking cigarettes. Father God, I promised myself and I'm promising you I'm going to do everything within my power to stop smoking from cigarettes, and I need you to help me. That's all that he asks of us. I need you to help me be that person that would marry you on yet a greater level. That's what he asks. I remember when I wanted to stop smoking cigarettes, I literally said to the Father, I love you so much, Father. Actually, what I said, if you are truly real, stop me from smoking cigarettes. And I turned the Bible, and it went to Isaiah 46 and 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, meaning do not worry, for I am your God. Yes, I will help you. I will lift you up with my righteous right hand. And when I think of Father lifting us up, what he's talking about is lifting us up out of a problem, lifting us up out of hurt and pain and shame. He does that which allows us to know that he's always watching us. He's always paying attention to us, that he's our Father. We allow ourselves to think that we got it together. When we call ourselves hiding, we are a bigger liar, a bigger deceiver than the ones who are alive right in front of your face. Yes. So, I ask you to do me a favor, and that is turn your Bibles to, give me 1 second. I'm wheezing, so I'm going to take my asthma pump in, just sort of help me a little bit. Give me 1 second. Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate you. Okay. Turn your Bibles to me. Oh, Father God, thank you, thank you, thank you. 6. My apology. Luke 6. And we're going to start at 43. Myself, when most people tell you I know a lot of verses, I don't even know how many I know right now. I used to keep up well, but I forgot the numbers. But I remember I used to use the Bible against people. As soon as they do something that got on my nerves, I would quote a verse. And I didn't look at my own self. Then, in a way to let it be understood, that I'm getting this. And I got to be honest with you, this is after me and that other gentleman had talked about it. I started learning a lot. God was bringing people to me. You know, the reality is if you lift up the name Jesus, he will draw people unto himself. And I got lost in who I was in Christ and started being what I now call a one-sided mirror, where I'm just looking at myself, my own self-image, as opposed to the image that is of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I remember when I was told that you have pride. And I said, man, that's not true. They said to me, there was a time when you was very humble. But it seems like the more you get to know the less you think you need to know. So humility is no longer being what you have produced or allowed Christ to produce in you. You have allowed Satan to give you back the pride in which you had before. Yet it has come on so subtle until literally you don't even realize it. I was so hot until I didn't know what to do. Until I actually looked at myself and said, my God. I try not to never use God's name in vain. But that time, my God. And literally, I cried. I cried for two reasons. One is because that person saved my life. See, sometimes we don't understand when people are telling us about ourselves that even if they don't mean it in a constructive way, it can be used constructively so that your life can be saved. But this time, this person loved me and just wanted to let me know, Larry, you're getting this wrong. I don't know where you got off course, but you need to go to God so that he can put you back on the course. And I thank God for that person. Anyway, check this out. This is Jesus talking. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Okay. Oh, God. After a fashion of time, or even immediately, what happens is you turn God's blessings, or you immediately go into being about yourself until literally you become one or two things. Bearing the fruit of evilness, allowing pride to get in the way, thinking that you got it going on. Thinking that you're better than people. As opposed to you looking and saying, Father God, open me up. Use me completely, for I am a wretched soul who needs you so much in my life. Until every waking moment, I'm going to meditate on your word. I'm going to allow your word to saturate my heart until my heart no longer be like that of stone. I'm going to allow my mind to be set on you so wonderfully, so completely, until I be this. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. If I'm correct. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Thank you, Father God. Here we go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. New in Christ. When we allow ourselves the ability to get to that point, to say, Father God, I have taken a true look at myself. I have literally wrote down the things that I personally can see and compare them with the person that you are. And Father God, the list that I see that's about me and compared to who you are runs far and long. As a matter of fact, I've come to find out, you know, when you go to prison, or you get arrested constantly, what happens to you is they say that you have a long jacket, you have a thick jacket, because there's so many complaints about you, there's so many things that's going on that you haven't got arrested for. The beautiful part about Jesus is it's only one thing on his jacket, and that's holiness. That's it. Only one thing. So when I make a list of what's going on, I come to the realization that I need to do this one thing. He said, if you confess your sins unto the Lord, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That means that your jacket is now gone. It has been cleansed. Now you have a chance to attack on holiness just like it is on the right-hand side of Jesus. We're going to finish this tomorrow, okay? I've come to see that once we come to a point of looking and saying, I really want to get this right. I don't have it right now, but I really want to get this right. That's when we come to say that maybe I'm on the right path. Oh, I love you so much. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye.